Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, author and meditation teacher, Jonathan Masters. And musical guest, Marcus G. Miller. I am Mark Leger, and now, our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
On our way to this wonderful show today, I was doing something that I do quite often, actually, and a friend of mine saw me do that, and she said, what are you doing? And I said, have you never done this before? So what was I doing? I'd like to share that with you in case you've never thought of it, and this was a perfect book to be doing this with. So I am holding our guest's book in my hand, as I was a few days ago or last week sometime, and I had been perusing it, and then at one point I decided to see what this moment could speak to me of through this book. In other words, I was saying, is there anything I need to know or something I could learn from in this moment that this book can help me tune into? Now, it's perfect because the title of the book is God Has Infinite Frequency. So I was tuning into the frequency with the book in hand, and I opened up the book and it took me to a perfect page for what I felt like I needed to hear. Now, I take into consideration that some pages have, you know, the binding and all that, but I scroll through the pages and make sure that they flow and all that, and then pick a page. So I picked something. It's actually page 15, and it starts, your innermost, deepest, calmest, and most innocent place within is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all that is and ever will be. Now, it goes on, and it spoke so much to me. Now, interestingly enough, my friend did it as well when she saw me do it, and I explained what I was doing, and she got the page 29, which said, God has a process of learning and evolving, and then goes on to explain that. So just before the show, I picked up the book and I said, okay, what can I get from this experience through the book today? And it took me to the same page 15, your innermost, deepest, calmest, and most innocent place within is the creator, etc. And I thought, that's interesting. So then I did it again just to see if I could get another message. And I got the message that my friend got. God has a process of learning and evolving. And I thought, so one more just for today's show. And it said this. Deep inside is joy, born of a marriage between our feminine and masculine, between our individuality and our universe. No part is left out. Our pleasure and pain, our hopes and dreams, our successes and failures. It goes on to say some very beautiful things, but you get some of the messages that I have been getting from perusing the book, God Has Infinite Frequency. And when we come back, we're going to get to speak with the author, Jonathan Masters. And a little bit later, our musical guest will give us his insight through math and physics and music when we bring him on, Marcus G. Miller, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, host of The Life Changes Show and this at-home edition, and I'm online with our co-host.
Yeah, that guy.
Producer Mark Lischauer.
In fact, that's a perfect segue because I was thinking about tonight's show and how important this conversation is, and so excited to hear what Jonathan shares with us. But James Hood, I think, said it best. He says, I used to think that thinking was important. Mm. Now I believe that not thinking is important.
Nice. Nice. Well, perfect, because we've titled our show Open Up to New Ways of Seeing and Experiencing Ourselves and the World. Our guest is author of this book, God Has Infinite Frequency, and a meditation teacher. Welcome, Jonathan Masters, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
How did you experience that exercise I just shared, coming from your book?
I thought it was delightful. And, you know, you said that God has a process of learning and evolving. And that's very important. That's a revolutionary concept in many ways. But there's another part of it, which is that we are all part of it. That experience of wholeness, moving, expanding, learning, evolving, is coming through in and a part of us.
Beautiful. Actually, it was I'm glad you said that, because I had I didn't think we'd have time for it, but the friend who picked that said, I'm not sure what this is saying to me. And I said, if you could tell me one of the things, and I know the answer, one of the things that you're experiencing in this moment. She's like, oh my God, I'm learning so much and it's not easy. And I said, nice. Now, what if God was learning through you? What if you thought of it that way? Then would you think what you're learning and the experience you're going through has more meaning? She's like, oh.
Right. You know, separation is so deep. It's so deep in the language and the consciousness and the culture and how we think about things and all that. And so, and part of what this book is doing is allowing people to discover, like, wow, maybe I'm not separate. You know, this is not a self-help book. This is a kind of door-opening discovery, allowing oneself to have one's own experience, one's own way, but challenging some core beliefs that we have and that we've been operating under.
So how did you write that? Did you write that just like I experienced the book? You said, okay, let me just pick page 15. What's going to be on there? And what beautiful artwork shall I use? I'm sure not.
Well, you never know. I guess the general question you're asking is, like, how did this come to be? And I think there's a big answer and a bunch of small answers. And the big answer is I'm still discovering the big answer, frankly, mm-hmm. which is that, so, you know, this is kind of working through me, I feel. But I was just, you know, having insights and having contact with sort of wholeness. And then I began to, of course, you'd be in this state and it was like a high experience, right? And then 20 minutes later, you'd be in something else and it's like, what was that thought? Right? Mm-hmm. And so I started writing them down. Nice. And so for many years. And so there's a process of learning for me and refinement. And then the artwork is really an essential part of it. You know, and I'm very glad to speak to you because I see that you have integrated music so much into the experience of the show and how you think about it and what you do. And this is part of what's happening here. There's a right brain, left brain. There's an artwork which is stimulating and inspiring and allowing you to open on that level, and then also working with the intellect. So marrying the two together and all the consciousness and work that went into each of these pieces is incredible.
Yeah, and they're all so very different, and they go with what you write in very different ways. How did you, was it a feeling? You might not be able to answer this. Was it a feeling? Was that ahas, I suppose?
Well, you know, there was a process also of getting to the artwork, but the artwork is primarily from two different artists. And then there's a few other ones also.
They're so different. Wow.
Yeah, there's two very different artists. One is Jerry Felix, who was a meditator, lived in a spiritual community most of her life, and I knew her a little bit. Well, we were friends, but and she died about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And then I came upon this art, and it was like just so perfect for this frequency and how she uses colors and how she thought about it and felt it. And then there's Anna U. Davis, who's an artist from Sweden working in Washington, D.C., and she's very much also very detailed and colorful, but she's thinking much more representationally and about social issues. And so it fit perfectly with this. Mm-hmm. And so there's this kind of level of vibrational frequency. And then there's like how you apply that, how you experience that within your own life and social situations. And, you know, there's some humor in here. There's one that says, you know, which came first, the arrogant monk or the macho general, right? And this is about our own interaction with the world.
I like that, our own interaction with the world, and at the same time, there's a lot. It speaks personally, and it speaks to our personal power, and yet there you bring up distinctions between personal power and other kind of power that we think of as personal power, but really isn't. So I'd like to go there, if you would, please.
Yes. This is something we're all evolving and learning about, essentially. Power, having it, giving it away, using it. What is it? You know, what's overuse of it? And really, I can say from a kind of theoretical, unified point of view that personal power is your own power to create yourself. Your own power to create yourself and to express yourself and to understand yourself and know yourself. And as you do that, and as you're comfortable in your own skin and your own consciousness and your own heart, then you just begin to radiate that. And that is power. This stuff we see in the world right now of people distorting the use of personal power and making it power over others. And I don't have to go there, but that's a distortion.
Mm. Well, interesting that you talk about that kind of power as a distortion, and I get that. And so thank you for that. I'd like to see what you do with love, since we know that love is all there is and all we need is love. You say in so many different ways, love is an illusion.
Well, actually,
you're laughing because I'm
what I said, and this is a very interesting, profound topic. What I said was love of another is the most real of all illusions.
Oh, right. Love of another is the most real of all illusions. Okay, so it's a really, really illusion.
And it continues, and maybe the most precious.
Oh, right. Okay.
For it is a window and path to the truth. And this is about expansion of one's heart. The act of devotion, the act of loving another. On one level, you could say it's an illusion because it's all unified. It's all oneself. It's curving back on oneself. But as we are in human bodies and as we evolve in our consciousness, what's happening is we are unifying polarities in general. So we say right and wrong. We all, I mean, I think people that have been like on any path at this point are like, right and wrong, what's that? You know, whatever. There's some sort of sense of, you know, that's not quite, there's something off about that. Right, wrong, black, white, up, down, whatever. Male, female. But the biggest polarity of them all is silence and active. Silence and action. Silence and activity. The silent underlying truth of the unified field of creation, you could say, and the active waves on the ocean that we see every day. And there's only one thing that can unify. There's only one thing that can give us a unified experience of two diametrically opposed opposites. And that is the expansion of love, the expansion of the heart, the heart's ability to comprehend, to embrace, to live those two different experiences, silent and active. And the path for many people is that of devotion to one's love, one's life. That's expansion. One's children, one's spouse, one's friends.
Jonathan, I think the connection is fading a bit, so maybe you can...
That was probably me being
quieter. Oh, it's you. Okay, well, I'm glad I mentioned it. You know, I think you'll appreciate this. Part of the experience of reading the book reminded me a little bit of Khalil Gibran's The Prophet, which I also like very much. And so how you defined, like you have just now, love, for example, and took us deeper into an important part of love and power as well. So if you don't mind, I would like to do that with a couple other words that rang out to me from the book: guilt and fear.
Yes. Guilt is very interesting. So there's an aphorism in the book, a section, you could say, that talks about guilt. And what it says is that guilt is the closest thing to the opposite of God.
Mm.
Guilt, and I'm trying to find it. But in any case, what it says is that guilt doesn't care about you. Guilt has no feelings, fear, or remorse. Guilt will drive you into the ground until there's nothing left, and then tell you it was your fault. And I think we've had this experience. We've all had some flavor of this experience, where you tried to do your best, whatever. It failed. Everything was terrible, but it's your fault. You know, you should have done better. You did the best. You should have done better. So here's the thing about guilt. It doesn't care about anything. It's compressive. It wants to compress itself. So I give a little, this is one of the places in the book where there's kind of a technique, you could say, which is that it says guilt is not interested in you, only in its own compression. Are you feeling afraid? This is what the book asks. Good. Fear is a vibration. Fear is a vibration. If something is vibrating and is living, guilt wants to kill you. But if you're afraid, you're still living. You're still vibrating. And that is the key to life. This vibration is the key to life. So if you feel and you integrate and you feel and you integrate, then what will happen is a transformation, and the energy that was trapped or locked inside this guilt will come and be available to you. And this is life. This is your life force being unlocked.
Wow. You just inspired a thought in me, maybe an analogy. For a long time, we've been talking about people that have cancer as this thing within them that is eating away at their body or killing them, what have you. But if we take that out and use that similar analogy to guilt, somebody is experiencing guilt, potentially they have a cancer, and it's in their thought process, in their psyche.
It can also lead to cancer within the physical body.
Oh, right. Wow. Right. Go on, I'm listening.
On the surface level, you could say, oh, gee, well, we need guilt because otherwise I wouldn't be good, or I wouldn't cross the road when the light was red instead of green, or whatever, you know. And the fact is that, you know, this is, again, it's drummed into our, I'm not saying guilt has no purpose. I'm saying that the purpose that we've assigned it is not what it is about. It's about expanding our consciousness into those places and freeing ourselves from guilt and taking full responsibility for ourselves to learn and to cross the road when it's red or green. Whichever side you're going. So this is not about sort of excluding this thing. I say it's the closest thing to the opposite of God. The closest, but it's not there. There's no such thing as the opposite of God.
It's certainly very disruptive, destructive. So I can understand, like you say, that there may be a purpose at times, to the extent of where we've taken it in our society that I can tell, or that I've taken it personally over the years, or seen others do. Yeah, it has taken over like a cancer. So I'm glad
but
that
the
came
purpose
up.
Purpose of it is the road sign of guilt is to get your act together and retrieve yourself and fill in those spaces of your own power with your own creativity. It's not about the purpose of it isn't to like tell you the right thing to do at certain times. The purpose is to manifest your totality.
Mm. So when you say, for example, that the guilt can cause cancer, is that along the lines of when you talk about spiritual physiological responses?
When I talk about physiological responses, I would say that, are you referring to something in the book?
No, I'm in general. I know that you talk on this. Yes.
Yeah. What I say is this, that when there's a state of integration, the physiological, the psychological, the emotional, and the body are all in harmonious operation and integration. And this is this harmonious operation and integration. It's not in any way fixed. And I think this is important. It's a kind of evolving, moving, exciting, amazing, you know, complex, you know, unfathomable in a way, life force, which is just we're experiencing every day, but we lose sight of it. Mm. And so the more we are in tune with it, and the way we can be in tune with it is experiencing the wholeness. It's the silence. It's the silence which is allowing us to support all this activity.
So you come, I don't know if you come to it through this, but you are also speaking as a meditation teacher at this point, right?
It seems like it. It does seem like it. And, you know, yeah, that's part of my background. I mean, I would say two or three major influences in terms of my spiritual development. One was, you know, becoming a meditation teacher and teaching under the guidance of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. And one was going through whatever I can call it, this process of the right use of will, which is all about recovery of one's feminine, really. And then I've also worked with two or three very important healers for me that have helped me kind of put things back together. So I draw on these things in the book, and as I have gone through and refined these aphorisms, they are aimed, a lot of them are aimed at specific beliefs that we have. The reason, you know, there was some controversy about putting God in the title of this book, like, God, no one's, everyone's going to freak out. But you know what? Whatever God is for you, for anyone, it's one of the most fundamental or the most fundamental belief you have. Like, that's just the nature of it. Whatever you believe, it's core, it's foundational to your whole belief system. And so if you could expand that, if you could expand and experience God as wholeness, as supportive of infinite frequency and containing everything and always, you know, evolving, then you would be also sort of shifting your belief systems about everything else. You would be entering a new way of experiencing yourself, a creative force under yourself.
Well, I'm enjoying this conversation so much from different levels. It seems like you come to this from, and knowing a little bit about your background and the tech world and business and your dad being a physicist, and that so much of that, whether consciously or unconsciously, feeds how we look at things. And so no wonder, as I was going through the book, it was speaking to me from the various levels, and I'm hearing it in this conversation. I'm enjoying it very much, and I look forward to when you are in the States, because I know you're in Europe, but meeting you and your wife, it would be a pleasure. In the meantime, if you're also enjoying listening to our guest Jonathan Masters and learning about his book God Has Infinite Frequency, you can learn more about him and the book at godhasinfinitefrequency.org, or you can go to foundationforinnerpeace.world. You can also find him on Facebook at God Has Infinite Frequency. We'll be right back with a little more of Jonathan Masters. And Jonathan, I think when we come back, it would be nice to touch on, I'm not going to say an easy way to start meditating. I know a lot of our listeners think it's a good idea. I don't know if everybody knows how to start or how to think of it. It'd be nice from your perspective to be able to share. Anybody can do it, or you might want to do it, and here's why or here's how. And when we come back, we're also going to have our Ask Dorothy question. And later on, our musical guest, Marcus G. Miller, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way.
The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Boltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our episode of the Life Changes Show at Home Edition today is titled Open Up to New Ways of Seeing and Experiencing Ourselves and the World, with our guest, author and meditation teacher, Jonathan Masters. And Jonathan, before we get to the meditation question, I want to share with our guest, our audience, and if you could elaborate on this. I love the closing of the book is the epilogue, and the very first sentence of that is, courage is when love includes fear.
Yes. So, you know, I went through this, every one of these entries in this book had a lot of thought in it, a lot of arrangement, a lot of thinking and coloring and everything that's been arranged. And then there were some that just needed to be said, you know? It was just like, you know, there isn't really an artwork that goes with this one, but, you know, it just, you know, courage is when love includes fear. Yes. We, you know, we think of courage as being something that we put fear aside, or we don't feel, and we're very courageous, we're hard, you know, we go into battle, right? Something like that. And really, courage is when you see the whole and you still can act. Courage is when you can see the whole and you can still act.
And I love the word love in there, because what a motivating factor, and how wonderful to be acting on whatever it is that requires courage with love.
Yes, yes. I mean, courage is I think the origin of the word is cœur. It's heart. French, right?
And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. That's brilliant. I did not know that. Thank you for sharing that. And now, why do I have to meditate?
You don't have to.
You don't just sit there and be quiet.
You don't have to do anything. You don't want to. I kind of want to, you know, this thing about meditation. Several people have taken this book and said, you know, this is a great book for meditation. I just take one aphorism, one thought per day, and I just make that about, and you said something similar. You said, well, I turned to a page and this is what I got. And I love that, because, you know, everyone is so different. There's a real kind of, even though the book is not hugely long, each one has so much texture and color and differences, and it's its own little world in itself. So I do suggest, you know, I talk about in the beginning, it's like you're in a pond, you throw a pebble in the pond, you see how the waves, you know, affect what you're seeing. And this isn't something you flip through. It's something that you really allow to sink in and breathe, see, you know, if your perspective is shifting after a day or two with a particular aphorism. And then people can take their own, they don't have to start with the beginning and go through the end, you know, probably do that the first time. But after that, you know, it's certain things may come to you that you think, oh, yeah, this is the thing for me for today. Meditation in general, you know, I'm a little bit, not neutral here, because I practice transcendental meditation and I was a teacher of it. So, and I feel that I've seen many, many people benefit from it. And so, you know, anyone can learn, you know, you have to pay for it and whatever. There's a lifelong support system. But I know it works from my own personal experience. I don't have a lot of experiences with other kind of generally called forms of meditation, except for this book, which is like a broad use of the term meditation, right?
Mm.
I hope I answered or at least ducked your question.
You definitely spoke to the question. And I, you know, there, yes, you answered it. And at the same time, who's able to hear it in this way will hear it and benefit from it. And like your words that you put out there. And I like, speaking of putting out there, I like that you put aphorisms that these are, this is, you're putting it out there. This is how we can manifest our future for ourselves and for each other and for everyone else in support of that. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being with us here today, tonight, very night for you there in Italy. So thank you. This has been very special, Jonathan.
I really appreciate it. For me too.
I want to remind everybody, GodHasInfiniteFrequency.org is the website. It's also the name of the book, Foundation for Inner Peace World, and of course on Facebook, God Has Infinite Frequency. What a pleasure. Jonathan Masters, thank you so much, and looking forward to more in the future.
Thank you.
And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, this is Audrey, and I live in Huntington Beach, California. I met you years ago when you lived in this city, and you were so helpful to me, and now I need your assistance again. You shared with me in the past that our body responds to our emotional state, and I am trying to understand why I am having problems with my feet. They are so swollen and hurt, and I can barely walk. So for several months now, I am confined to my upstairs bedroom. It is not like I want to go out into the city or to the beach with all the craziness going on in the world today. I want to be able to go downstairs and to be pain-free. Please help me.
My dear Audrey, I'm sorry to hear of your recent physical challenges, and yet am happy to be remembered as the source of a possible solution. I know that you read Louise Hay's amazing book, You Can Heal Your Life, and I ask that you please read it again. However, you have already diagnosed in your request the emotional cause of your physical issue with your feet by stating you don't really want to go out in today's world. Louise tells us that our feet represent our understanding of ourselves, of life, and of others. She further explains that feet problems are all about fear of the future and of not stepping forward in life. Knowing that in the past, you organized so many social gatherings with many brilliant people, and now hearing that you're confined to your bedroom indicates to me that you're indeed lost and confused by the present state of our world. I lovingly suggest that you find a way, with the help of one of your talented friends, to put together an event online. Everyone needs the magic of conscious connection with amazing people, and this is just one of your many gifts to the world. So let's find a way for you to do it online with a conscious guest speaker who can uplift others with their version of what is really going on right now in our world. I feel that once you're immersed in doing what you do best, you will be back on your feet quickly and can once again put together your amazing social events where consciousness is shared and expanded. I look forward to see you recreating your magical events.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Marcus G. Miller, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back. I am Filippo, and I'm excited about our musical guest. I've had a great conversation with him and looking forward to so many more. And you will see why when we get a chance to chat, and you're going to enjoy his music. Here is our musical guest, who's a saxophonist and so much more, Marcus G. Miller. Welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. When I say so much more, I love being able to say that because in this case, you actually have several different careers and they're all kind of music related, right?
Yeah. Yep. Very much into music and various aspects of that, from performance to composition to production, and then mathematics, which for me, mathematics and music are very intimately connected.
Right. And most people don't even think of that. And I think it's so important. And I like how you hope to encourage people to become more aware of the potential for mathematics and music to service as routes to personal, spiritual, and community development. And now that's a mouthful. Personal, spiritual, and community development, music and mathematics. Could you please elaborate on that?
Sure. So usually when we think about the relationship between music and mathematics, people will go into talking about the relationship between, say, sound and physics. And right, in order to describe how sound works, there's a lot of physics, and physics is written in the language of mathematics. So you get kind of a connection between math and music. And certainly Pythagoras was able to develop our tonal system from using numerical ratios. But for me, the way that mathematics and music play together is in the kind of subjective and creative experience of doing both. I found that as a student of mathematics and as a professional musician, I had to go to the same kind of places internally in order to access the creativity and the imagination needed to execute.
Nice. You mentioned imagination, and actually it's part of your subtitle. So Marcus G. Miller, Music, Math, and Imagination on your website. As a matter of fact, your website is Imagine with Marcus. So what is the significance of imagination to you?
Well, if you are, say, sitting down to write a composition, you have to, or even to improvise, right? There's something going on internally. There's some urge to create that wasn't there before. And in order to fulfill on that urge, you have to have some picture, and it may be a visual, it may be a color, it may be a texture or whatever, but you have to have that to jump into it. And I found that when I was thinking about mathematics, it's actually the same thing. In order to solve a problem that you don't know how to solve, or maybe you're reading an existing proof, an already solved problem, and you're trying to track it, you need to have the imagination in order to develop it internally in your own senses, and that helps you to understand. And so imagination to me is this kind of special power that we have in order to go from a space of curiosity or inquiry into a space of ideation, and ideally to take that to go from ideation into creating something in the world. And you know, that process gives you a deep feeling of wonder about what's possible.
Marcus, you're inspiring me. I think I want to add imaginator to my thank you for inspiring. Well, it's what you do. I totally enjoyed your TED talk, The Beauty of Math and Music, that we have happily posted on our webpage. You're all over YouTube doing music though, mainly, and so mm-hmm. let's get a taste of that. Is this first piece you're going to do live for us online on the sax? Is it going to be riffing, or is it a piece that you've thought through?
No, this is a melody that I've been playing with for years, and so you know I'm going to play through it and just kind of extemporize ideas based on this you know melody. So I mean, the best way to listen to it, if you're not really familiar with improvisational music, is I'll play the melody and then you just kind of sing the melody in your head as I'm playing, and you'll be able to like catch what's going on and kind of the inventions that I'm creating on the spot.
Oh, that's clever to suggest that. Marcus, what does this have a title, or should we give it a title?
It's called If I Could Go With You.
Oh, cool. What a great title. Okay, here is Marcus G. Miller playing If I Could Go With You live online here on the Life Changes Show.
love that.
I love that too. Marcus G. Miller, thank you so much. So imaginewithmarcus.com is where you could learn all about Marcus and hear his music, get his music, and all of that. As a matter of fact, I know you're still imagining this piece into being. Has it been imagined in a recording yet?
It has not been. It's been imagined in a recording. It hasn't been released yet. You should keep an eye on the website and on the Instagram, which is also Imagine with Marcus. It should be released sometime this year. Lots of other pieces are being mixed and matched with it to make a whole recording project. But yep. If awesome. I could go with you.
Let us know as well so we can share. This is exciting. Can I just ask you real quickly how do you technically do the last bit? I started laughing because I didn't expect the pop, 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 pop. How do you do that?
Man, it's very secret. Hard to describe. Yeah, it's a secret. I asked, there's a great saxophone player I asked one time when I was 15 years old, you know, he used to use this technique. And I asked him directly, say, hey, man, that was really cool. How did you do that? And I'll tell you the censored version of what he told me. He said, oh, it's simple. You hit that MF. I'm like, that's it? No lesson, no information. No, that's all he gave me. So I went home and learned how to hit the MF. And here we are.
I think there's a song there too, actually. Yeah.
Well, you've inspired me to pick up both of my horns. I'm gonna get to hitting.
Cool.
Hit that MF.
Yes.
So, Marcus, you went on to graduate from Harvard University with a degree in mathematics. And yes. Then from there, you went on to work for a major hedge fund in New York City. Both of these things are very coveted. It's a lot of work. It's not easy stuff. Not everybody can do it. And then you leave that, in a sense, to pursue music. And I can tell you from my personal experience, and I'll share this with the audience as well, that when I left what I left to pursue music, people in my community, my parents included, God bless them, felt like I was moving towards a lesser and something not as honorable because everybody can do music. So what was your experience to moving to music, and maybe you could help lift it up to where it needs to be in this conversation?
Sure. There are a couple of ways I can answer that. What really helped me make the decision was that I guess 2 weeks into my hedge fund job, I could see my reflection from behind an Excel spreadsheet. And it said, Marcus, what are you doing here? You're a creative person. You have no business being here. Mm-hmm. And I told my reflection, man, shut up. We're making money. Shut up. Don't ruin this for us. But eventually he won. He's like, okay, cool. I'll shut up. But I'm also going to, you know, haunt your dreams and make it so you can't sleep and give you these kind of existential crises every day and distract you from being excellent at the hedge fund as I am used to a certain standard of excellence for myself in other areas of life. So eventually I left that and moved to music. And that actually took a little bit of time because I was afraid of being broke. Going from hedge fund life to you know, very uncertain musician life was quite terrifying. And so I took some kind of half steps toward actually being a musician, including, you know, promoting parties and thinking I was going to start a record label and things like that. But eventually I went into the creative. And so it was really a need, an internal need that pushed me to you know, return to the creative. And it was a similar internal need that kept me still interested in mathematics. And even though I wasn't doing it professionally, still kept me interested in what was going on in the global financial system, because it is an interesting thing to think about. And then I'll say that, you know, in order to elevate music to its proper place, there are... If you've ever read this really good paper by a woman named Danella Meadows, it's about systems thinking, and it's about kind of the 12 major leverage points of systems. And the, you know, they range from controlling infrastructure to controlling, you know, the flows of information or goods and services to feedback loops. But the kind of highest point, the thing that gives you the most leverage is the ability to change paradigms. If you can change the way that people experience life, then that's the highest leverage of all. It's more important than leadership. It's more important than like clear goal setting. It's more important than, you know, manipulating feedback loops or infrastructure or things like that. And the beautiful thing about music is that if it's done intentionally, that's what's available. It hits, it doesn't hit in a very direct way all the time. Bob Marley says, you know, one thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain. The kind of experience and the kind of epiphanies and personal openings that one can have on physical levels, emotional levels, spiritual levels that that music can shepherd or herald really operate at that level of changing somebody's paradigm. And so in understanding that, that's the potential and that's the aim of the gift. And you know, you kind of realize how powerful a thing we're dealing with. And it's tricky because it lives outside of the industry, and that insight also lives kind of outside of common parlance. We usually don't discuss music, at least sincerely, in that way. People will gesture at it artistically, but the people that really believe it and really tap into that, they're really doing that work, and they've changed the world several times over. So
Well said. Thank you so much. So, Marcus, obviously, in what you just said and in everything that you've shared musically in your life already, you're already doing this. But I'm curious, what is the impetus for this phrase? Marcus Miller wants to spread curiosity, imagination, and beauty through his work in music, mathematics, and other fields of interest.
Yeah, I'll say this. Curiosity is the gateway to realizing that there's something more. Imagination is the faculty by which we can generate it internally, and wonder and beauty are the outcomes both for others and for oneself. Philosophically, I think that There's something very key about having reverence in one's life. And the gesture of reverence is something like looking up at a mountain range before you on a very clear day, or sitting at, maybe you've had a great teacher, a teacher who's like a great master, like an art, like say like a old Shaw Brothers, like the greatest Kung Fu master in the whole Shaw Brothers movie. Or for me, it's been some spiritual teachers and some musical teachers and some math teachers who, you know, being around them and watching them perform their art is just humbling. It makes me feel small in a good way. It makes me feel the kind of small where it's like, this is the possibility that life has before me. And I think that orientation, being able to hold that orientation to life, is really important. There are religious overtones to that. There are spiritual overtones to that. But without getting too deep into all of that, it's just that position of reverence. And I think that position of reverence is deeply akin to the position of surrender and the space through which life can happen through you, let's say. And so to be able to create more access points, more portals to that, feels like something worthwhile.
Something worthwhile indeed. And I'd like to get deeper into all that, but we've come to the towards the end of our time together on this particular episode. But before we go, would love to have you share another piece of inspiration for us musically. What Absolutely. Should we hear?
This song is called Dreams, and it actually was inspired by a dream I had when I was 13 years old, and it just stuck with me. It's one of those things that, you know, I literally heard the whole song in my dream, and it stuck with me. So I'll play that for you.
So much more I want to know real quick. When did you actually either write it down or or set it to music, like actually play it? Was it right away after you heard it in your dream or years later?
It was years later. I kept the melody and I kept the sound.
Wow.
I didn't have enough musical faculty and knowledge at the time to be able to write down specifically what I wanted at various points in my life. Certainly not when I was 13. And then when I returned to it in my early 20s, I thought I was pretty good at the saxophone, but there were still certain chords and certain rhythms that I wasn't sure of. And then a couple of years ago, I returned to it again. And then I had everything I needed. I had all the tools. So I was able to commit it to the recording, to, I guess, the DAW, to tape.
How special. Well, here is Marcus G. Miller performing Dreams live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. Marcus G. Miller.
Woo!
Wow. Dreams. That them are some good dreams right there. When do we get to hear this, Marcus?
It'll be on the same record. Yeah.
Okay, so Imagine with Marcus, MARCUS.com. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. May there be so much more of Marcus out there and on the Life Changes Show as well. What a pleasure this has been. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, this was brilliant. Big thank you once again to Marcus G. Miller and to our guest, Jonathan Masters. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer, Mark Lejour, and co-host, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.